remain standing.
Various scriptures today, so we'll just pray as we open up. Lord Jesus, thank you for all that you are for us and in us, through us. Lord, today we need you to breathe life into the words that I'm going to bring forth. God, I pray that if there's anything from my flesh, it would fall on deaf ears, but whatever is from you would go forth and bear great fruit for your glory. And Lord, I ask that you would fill me afresh with your spirit, your anointing for this service, for the hearers. You know exactly what they need. So God, would you do this miracle through the preaching of your word? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, we're kind of taking a detour from John because of the holiday season, so we're a little more targeted, a little more topical. And so today we've got a bunch of different verses we're going to be using. Lisa and I have talked about this a lot of times. Have you ever had a year that it just seems like 3 to 5 years to get through it? Just a long year. And it's like, man, is this year ever going to end? And I don't know, maybe for you 2018 was one of those years. It was just hard. It was difficult. It was like one challenge after the next. And it seemed to last forever. Maybe it wasn't. But I remember hearing a long time ago, somebody said this, and I'm sure somebody probably knows who quoted this, but it says, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Okay? Well, I know this much. I don't know what 2019 holds, but I know who holds 2019. And his name is Jesus. And he is the Alpha and the Omega of 2019, the beginning and the end, just like he was in 2018. And he is sovereign over all of it. He is ruling and reigning over all of 2019, just as he did over 2018. And when you think about it, here is our omnipresent, somehow everywhere, all the time, our omniscient, knowing all things all the time, and our omnipotent, all-powerful Alpha. You know, in our family, we do a lot of talking, oh, that person's an Alpha, and that person's a Beta, right? And there's something about Alpha, even the way you say it, right? Alpha. And you think, Jesus is the Alpha of 2019. He is ruling and he is reigning. He has authority over all things. And you know, as we think of that, as I go through this message, you know what? There's nothing new here. You're going to sit there and go, I know all that. Yeah. Sometimes we need to hear it again and again. Amen? To really drive it deep into our hearts. And that's what this message is about. Because it's just taking the truths you already know, putting them together, reestablishing them in our hearts so that God could use that to maybe move it sometimes from simply our head into our hearts where it affects how we live. And when we think of this Alpha and Omega, his name is Jesus. He will be guiding everything to its appointed purpose in 2019. Everything. Take a look, God's Word. We'll keep going back to God's Word. I love this first verse because it, you know, so many times we want to look at life and we think it's just chance. I am so grateful to God for the truth of the sovereignty of God. That this 2019, God's got it in his hands. He's got it, he knows exactly what's going to go on. And it's nothing is going to catch him off guard. That's what I love about my God. That he is sovereign. And you look at this, and here's chance. I love this. Proverbs 16, verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is of the Lord. Throwing the dice. Basically, that's what it's saying. God's got it. It's decisions by God. The dice that are thrown in Las Vegas at this very moment, God's determining what's going to come up. That's what it's saying there. That every cast of the dice, God's determining. He's got a purpose in it. He's working something in it. He's moving everything towards something. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. all the rulers on this planet, every single one of them, their hearts are in the hands of the living God, and he's moving and turning things. He is designing things. He's moving it towards a purpose. That's what this says. All the hearts of the kings are in the hands of our living God, and he is moving them. Now, does that mean that God is causing people to sin? No. But God is using all these things. He's moving things towards a purpose. And it's not just random. And I'm so grateful for that. I find so much peace in that. And it goes on in James chapter 4, verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But God is directing. God's got a purpose in these things. And in Ephesians 1, 11, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who does what? Who works all things. Not most things, who works all things according to the counsel of his will. He's got a plan. And finally, in Psalm 115, verse 3, I love this. It's just so authoritative and so brief and so powerful. Our God is in the heavens, okay? And he does all that he pleases, period. Isn't that refreshing? And he does all that he pleases. He's seated in the highest place, ruling and reigning. And oh, by the way, he does all he pleases, period. End of discussion. That's our God, ruling and reigning. Everything in the universe. If partly through this year, all of a sudden, we find out that there's a meteor heading towards Earth. Oh no, it's going to take out Earth and we're all going to... I have confidence that God is sovereign over every movement in the universe. What about internationally? As it said here, the hearts of the kings. I don't understand God's ways many times. I'm the first to say that. Why are the Christians being persecuted in China the way they are? I don't get that. I don't understand that. What's going on with Russia possibly setting up a base down in Venezuela? I don't know. I don't get it. I don't know why. But I know that the hearts of the kings are in the hands of God. And he's got a purpose. Got a purpose in it all. What about nationally? Why do we seem so divided right now? I mean, I get the racial thing. That's been going on for a long, 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 long time. But politically? I mean, I'm seeing stuff on the internet because a person wears a certain kind of hat, people are refusing to serve them. I can never remember that being like as toxic as it is right now. What's going on? Do I trust that God's got a plan in all things? Yeah. What about, you know, we say nationally, what about locally here? Well, they just raised my taxes. I can't even believe it. Can hardly stay in my house. What's going on? What's God's plan in that? I don't know. What about individually? I am sure that there are many of us in this room that sometime during 2018, you were saying, God, I don't get this. Why is this happening? God, what's up? Where are you? I don't get your plan. I believe that everything in the universe, internationally, nationally, locally, and individually, God is sovereign over. Even if we don't feel and see it at the moment, we will see it in the end. I always say the sovereignty of God, you can't see through the windshield. You know, we always want to know now why this is happening, right? I'm sure if you could remember, you could go back to the beginning of 2018 and you said, I don't understand why this is happening. And maybe by the end of 2018, oh, now I get it. Now I see why. You don't understand it. We don't get it. Because God's sovereignty so many times isn't seen through the windshield as we're approaching it. We see it through the rearview mirror as life goes by and we look back and we go, oh, now I get it. Now I understand. That's how God works. So many times we don't understand. We want to know now, but he's going to tell us later. Maybe he won't even do that. But I know that my Jesus is also the Omega of 2019. He's going to be there at the end. Take a look at God's word. Revelation 21, verse 6. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That is so definitive. I am. And then it goes on in Isaiah 46, 9 through 10. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Look at this now. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Period. I will accomplish all my purpose, period. The word Omega is, you know, if you understand the Greek language, the first letter in the Greek alphabet is Alpha and the last one's Omega. And that Omega means end, but it has another meaning, and I really like this. It means ending in point of time, ending in point of time, or this, or a sense of the goal accomplished. And I look at that and I say, you know what? At the end of 2019, God is going to say all my goals were met of 2019. Not like Dan Kervillion, right? Because Dan's got all his agenda laid out, and I want to get to it, but hopefully I will. But if I don't, oh well. See, that never happens with God. He never gets to the end of the year and says, I was going to accomplish this and I didn't do that. I'm going to have to shove that into the next year. He never does that. He never does that. He always accomplishes all his will every year. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. So what is it? What's it all about? I can say this with confidence from the beginning to the end of 2019. There's one objective for everything. For your life personally, for this local area, for our nation, internationally, for the universe. What is it? It's that God would be glorified. That God would be glorified. In my life, in my community, in this nation, in the world, that God would be glorified. He's working everything for His glory, for His praise. He's working it all for that. Isn't that great news? That God is doing this work, and He knows exactly what He's doing. He's never surprised by anything. I love that about my Lord. And that's why the truth that He is the Alpha and the Omega gives assurance that there is purpose and there is meaning behind all of life. Everything. Everything. The idea that things are randomly happening and God is caught off guard is just scary to me. I rest in the sovereignty of God, that there is nothing that's going to happen, that God is going to be seated in the highest throne and say, wow, I had no idea that was going to happen. That totally caught me off guard in Dan's life. Wow, I'm going to figure out how I'm going to get this done. But instead, God knows. I find so much comfort in that. That my God is sovereign. And there's nothing that is going to happen in this universe, in this nation, in my community, that God doesn't have a purpose behind, that He's moving towards moving to glorify His great name. And I can rest in that. Jesus is involved in all areas of our life, from the Alpha to the Omega, from the A to Z in the English language. He is involved. He's got His hands in our lives because we matter to Him. We are loved by Him because of who Christ is for. If you're a believer today, He delights in you. And He is for you, not against you. And He is working all things for His glory and your good. That's all truths we know. We need to hear again. Take a look at God's word. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. That really bothers people that love to plan. You know, I got the whole year planned out next year, Dan. Some of you probably can. If I asked your spouse, do they have the, oh yeah, they got everything laid out. They got it all perfectly laid out. And you know, the whole idea of God coming in there and messing up our plan really bothers us. Well, I had it all laid out. And it's basically saying here, you know what, make your plans, because some of us are on the other side. Oh, we're just going to wing it and see what happens next year. God says that we should have plans. It's wise to make plans. But we hold them with an open hand, that God is going to shift things around. Some of us are going to be in completely different places at the end of this next year than we are right now, and we don't have it planned. But you know what? God does. It says, you know what? But the Lord determines our steps. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. It's God. And we go on, Psalm 139. This is the psalm where it's talking about how he knew us and he saw us when we were being knit together in our mother's womb. And then it comes to this and it says, in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. It says what it says. So that means our God is sovereign. That he's got this wonderful thing laid out for us this next year. That doesn't mean it's going to be an easy thing. See, we kind of default. We want it. We think that everything should in the scripture should really be about our comfort. Right? So what happens is when we hear a message like this, we go, oh, great, everything. I've got great plans, and they're all for my joy, and you know it's going to be easy. That doesn't necessarily mean it. 2018 was really hard for some people. Was God sovereign over 2018 in their lives? Yeah, he was. Was he working something for his glory? Yeah, he absolutely was. Because that's what the Word of God says. So he was working something. It was hard things. Maybe it was character things he was dealing with. I don't know. But I know that my God is sovereign. And he's got it in his hands. Every one of those days. You know, whatever 2019 holds for you, it's not accidental. God is never going to say this about something that happens in your life. Wow, I didn't see that coming. Isn't that relaxing? That the sovereign over all the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, will never be caught off guard this next year for your life? Never. There's never going to be even a flash of a thought of, wow, whoa, whew, what am I going to do now? I guess I got to come at it like this. Instead, God saying, yep, I have my glory in mind and you're good. So get ready. And his plans are always better than ours, even if they don't seem like it at the time. Even if they don't seem like it at the time. That's why I said, we see God's sovereignty in the rearview mirror. You know, there's something that happened in our family a year and a half ago. It's my nephew's son was born. His name is Paxton, and he was born with some physical challenges. And with those physical challenges, what happened was his skull wasn't growing right. So two times in the last year and a half, they had to put metal hardware on his head. And every day, his parents had to take these four screws and turn them a certain distance in order to expand his skull. This little boy has been through a difficult year and a half. Something amazing happened at Christmas time. I don't understand that. I sat down with his grandpa. I have never had a conversation with my brother-in-law that was of any depth and certainly not spiritual. And I have been praying for this guy and his son, who's the father of little Paxton, for over 20 years. And I sat down and said, Paul, how's it going? It's been a rough year, Dan. I'm not a religious man. But I'm starting to look at that. Why, Paul? I went to church a couple of weeks ago with your sister. He didn't go to church with my sister. And a guy came up to him, a stranger. He said, Dan, this guy said this to me. He walks up to me, he says, you're Paxton's grandpa, aren't you? And he goes, yep. He said, I've been praying for Paxton and your whole family. Paul looks at me and he says, P, People don't do that. Why did he do that? And I said, it's about Jesus. The other thing that happened, we had a conversation, biggest conversation ever I've ever had with this man. Then his son, who, you know, I'm a pastor, so people got to speak religiously, right? They go, oh, it's Dan, he's a pastor, so I got to put my act together, right? And so you know that. As a pastor, I know that. When you're just kind of playing the game and saying the words and you really don't mean them. And most of us do, but I get it more than most probably as soon as they find out I'm a pastor and they change their physical posture and everything. Whoa, hey, you're Dan, you're a pastor. You know, and they step back. This is the first time this holiday season where Phil engaged me, and when he was talking about things that were spiritual, he was sincere. I could tell. God had somehow used this difficult situation in this little boy's life to bring two people who for over 20 years were distant from God, did not want to even talk about things, and somehow, some way, God used that to open up their hearts. I don't get it. But God's ways are not our ways. So when we look at this God that we serve, we realize, you know what? His plans are better than ours. We don't always understand them, but we got to trust him because he is the Alpha and the Omega. And you know what? He makes a promise in his word that in 2019, he's going to provide for all your physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. That's a promise. Take a look at God's word again. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Everything. It's a promise. Doesn't mean you'll get everything you want, but you'll get everything you need. What about that? If that's a promise, then we can be confident of that. So that means this. Not saying he will, but he can save anyone. Anyone. The vilest person you know, the person whose heart is the hardest against God. Beginning of this year, hard. End of this year, in the service, worshiping God. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the omnipotent God. He can soften your hard. You know, I before this, the first service, we pray downstairs, and I'm going to invite you to come and join us. One of the prayers we pray is, God, there's lost people within our services. God, would you soften their hearts? Would you save them? You know, you sit under the preaching of the gospel for years and years, you grow numb to it. Do you have any desire to follow Jesus? Or are you just here because that's what a Christian is supposed to do, so I guess I'll just be here. But do you follow Jesus? Do you desire him? Do you want to do what honors him? You know, maybe your heart is the one that needs to be softened. And you know what? God can do that. God can do that miracle. That neighbor whose heart is hard. A coworker. I was talking to someone in between breaks for somebody that I've known for well over 20 years. And I said, how are they doing? Are they pursuing Jesus at all? No, their hearts are still hard. Well, are we going to keep praying? And he looked at me and said, just like you said in the sermon, I said, yeah. We just keep praying. Because nothing is impossible with God. Could it be this year? It could. It might. Our Alpha and Omega can give us victory over any sin that is in our lives. Any sin. Because the cross didn't just pay our penalty for sin, it broke the power of sin over us. Take a look at God's word again. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. There's something common about these verses. Freedom. Freedom in Christ. Freedom from the bondage of sin, the power of sin. Galatians 5, verse 1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And then in 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Isn't that great news? So no matter what that sin of yours is right now, whether it be unforgiveness towards somebody who has hurt you, and I'm not saying what they did was right, but to forgive those who have hurt you. I struggle with unforgiveness at times, to be honest with you. Anger, maybe, issues, lust issues, struggling with pornography, 20, 30 years, I don't know, 10 years. Covetousness, gossip. Jesus can set you free from that. Do you really believe that? I mean, really? We got to because we're Christians, right, Dan? I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about here. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that he could save anyone? Do you really believe, and that we have maybe more belief for that than he can change me, right? Because I know me, and I know how long I've struggled with this. And you're telling me this could be the year? Yes, I am. This could be the year that you're complete, that bondage is broken completely. Because of who Christ is, not because of who you are, but because of who Jesus is for you and what he's done for you. Yes. He can break this year any emotional strongholds that you might have in your life. I struggle with depression. You know, will this be the year that I no longer struggle with any? Possibly. Do I really believe that? What about anxiety or fear? Maybe you're one of those people. You're just always fearful. Could this be the year that the Lord just breaks that finally in your life? Or is it a struggle that we'll continue to lean on his grace and his mercy? I don't know, but I believe he can. And I believe many times he will. Why? Because of who he is, not because of who I am. If I look at me, I can give you every reason why it won't happen. Amen? But when I look at him and I see my glorious Savior, what child is this? His name is Jesus. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, the Son of God, the Son of man, my Savior, my friend. When I look at him, I can have hope. Nothing is impossible. But I keep my eyes on me so many times. And what happens is this, that our God, all these things are possible. And when I can't carry the burden emotionally, then he'll carry it for me. Because he promises that. Why? Because of who I am in Christ. I don't have to earn his love, just like I didn't have to earn my salvation. I couldn't. His salvation was a free gift to me. I mean, I was separated and lost because of my sin. No hope of ever paying the debt that I owed. And Christ came and lived that perfect life that was required by God. I couldn't do it. He did it for me. Then he went to the cross and was punished for my sin. And I was adopted into the family. And Christ's righteousness was imputed to me. And he received the punishment for my sin. And now I'm free because of Christ. Wow. Wow. And he will always be with me. He is always present. He will never leave me nor forsake me, not because of what I've done, but because of whose I am. And that's true for every one of you that's a believer today. I guarantee you in 2019, he will never leave you nor forsake you. There's times when we think he does, isn't it? I know there's times in my life where are you, Jesus? Where are you? But the promise in the Word is that he never leaves us nor forsakes us. And so we rest in who he is. We stop being moved by our feelings. And we start looking at the truth of God's word. And the truth is this. The Alpha and Omega will be great for you in 2019. Because of who he is. That's just the truth. And this is another truth. That he is able to do far more than you and I could imagine. Do you really believe that? That he can do far more than you can imagine? Because I find this. I love the verse in Scripture where it says, okay, you know, heaven is prepared for those, and you can't even imagine what it's like. And I go, oh, okay, I can believe that. I can't even get that. But when it comes to, do I believe that he could do far more than I could even imagine in 2019 in the situations I just talked about? That person whose heart is so hard, maybe my hard heart, the bondage I have to sin, I really believe this year, that's more than I can imagine. Uh-uh. Not according to God's word. Let's take a look at that again. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory. You see, that's the bottom line. It's always the end goal. God's glory. Far more than you can imagine or think. What about 2019? You know that relationship that you have that's been broken, that you know needs to be healed, and it hasn't been for 20, 30, 40 years? Do you believe that this year is the year that God could heal that thing? Far more than you could imagine, huh? That's our God. And in Luke 4:18, now I want to say this. This is Jesus in the temple and he's reading scripture. He's reading Isaiah. And I understand that the primary focus here is salvation. But I think there's a secondary purpose. And that secondary purpose has an effect on us as Christians and the things that we struggle with. So take a look at this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has appointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. What does that mean for us? And in Luke chapter 11, verse 9, and I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. And finally in Mark chapter 9, this was the man whose son kept throwing himself in the fire. And he said, if you can, could you do something to help him, Jesus? And I love Jesus' response. It's his response to us today when we struggle with an area in our lives. You know, when I said, hey, do you believe this? And you go, kind of. That's us. And so we are in this man and we are in Jesus' response. And I love this. Jesus said to him, if you can. I can just see Jesus kind of laughing, smiling a little bit. About, if you can, all things are possible for the one who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. So when we look at this next year, I think one of the things we need to do is start and ask for greater faith in the areas that we don't own the truth of God's greatness. You know, we kind of laughed about some of these things. Even when you read a give sight to the blind, what do you really believe God could heal somebody who is physically, everything in the world says it can't happen? Do you really believe that? I'm not saying he will, but do you believe that he can and he's going to commit to doing some incredible things this year? Do you believe that? Because I do. We need to ask God for greater faith in areas where we don't own the truth of his greatness, where it's here, but it's not quite here. We intellectually agree, but we just struggle with the way we walk through it. And it's reflected usually in our prayers or lack thereof. And so what happens is that, okay, God, give us greater faith so we could own the truth of your greatness, or God, help us overcome our unbelief. How about we do this year? We get kind of crazy, right? We pray big prayers. Let's do that this year. We got the Alpha and Omega. He's the glorious God. Let's pray big prayers to a big God. Let's ask him for things that, and put our complete trust in him. Let's ask him for things that maybe before we didn't know. I don't know. I'm really not sure. Can we ask God? That hard heart. God, I really just haven't prayed about that in a long time. God, I pray that you save that man or that woman. God, I ask that you would soften their hearts. I know it seems so impossible to me, but nothing is impossible for you. God, I know this physical situation seems absolutely impossible. Just so you know, I'm praying crazy things. And I don't know whether God will do it or not, but I'm going to keep praying. Helen Leesom only has one kidney. I'm asking God to put another kidney in her. I'm asking God. I love my brother Brandon. I'm asking God to get him out of that chair. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep asking. Because I have a big God, and nothing is impossible with him. And he will do whatever it takes to glorify his great name. So I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep trusting. I'm going to keep asking until he tells me, Dan, stop praying that. And then I'll stop praying that. I haven't heard it yet, so I'll keep praying. Pray big prayers. Freedom from bondage. And the answer may come in an unexpected way. Just like it did in my family. What, God? You're using this little boy to affect the lives of people whose hearts have been hard against you for over 50 years for the grandpa and over 30 years for the father? That's amazing. So the answer might not come the way you think, and it might come through trials and struggles. You know, 2018 was rough for some of us, but God used it. And he's not done yet. You may not know the purpose why on this earth, but I know this much. God was sovereign, and that he had a purpose, and it was to glorify his great name. And I believe that with all my heart. And many times you'll find this, that God will use you to answer your own prayer. Because if you look at that one verse, ask, the next verse is seek. You see, that's action to the prayer. That's, you know, when you're praying for the guy that's lost, you don't just pray for him. You invite him over to lunch, or you start building a friendship, or you invite him to church. Seek. It's turning that asking into a pursuit. That's what we see in that ask, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. There's an action to our prayer, that we don't just sit back and expect God to do it all. You know, I love what one man said. He put it this way. He said, give God something to work with, even though he really doesn't need anything to work with. Okay, so give God something to work with here. If you're praying for a job, apply for jobs. Right? It's just like sitting. And we go, this is common sense. Okay? But that's what it's about. You know, we're going to seek God. We're going to trust that he's going to work in us, that our understanding of who he is becomes greater and greater. And it just doesn't become this theology that sits and collects dust, but it moves us to action. That we would live in a way, if we're struggling with our faith, we're struggling with our hardness of our heart, then it's about time you start having a quiet time. Okay? Do something about it. Take a reading schedule, and read through the Gospels 4 times this next year. Do something about it. You're not earning God's favor. You already have it. But give God something to work with as he starts answering the prayers that he put on your heart, and he starts moving. He's going to start using things. And you're going to stand in awe of God as he gets you off that sedentary place and moves you forward. So seek, pursue some of these things. Don't just sit with your hands folded. Spend time with him and be persistent. Don't lose hope in the Lord working in you or through you in 2019. This could be the year. Yeah, I've been praying 20 years, 30 years, 10 years, 3 years, whatever. This could be the year. So don't give up. Keep pressing into God. Keep asking him. Keep trusting that great things are going to happen. You don't know what that all is. He does. And I'm so glad. We keep pressing in. Because what I found is this, that I believe in my heart, no matter what this year holds, whether it be easier things or difficult things, I don't know. But I know he holds 2019 in that my Alpha and my Omega, my Jesus, he's going to be great for me in 2019, and he's going to be for you too. Take a look at these verses. I love this. I love these verses. Romans chapter 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? I love these questions because they're just so eye-opening and so like, oh yeah, right? Like I said, I didn't say anything new in this whole sermon. But listen, okay, if God is for us, who can be against us? The Alpha and the Omega is for us. The omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent one is for us. Who can be against you? That's a silly question. And then it goes on. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he also not with him graciously give us all things? You say, there is one who is more precious than all the universe. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And God did not withhold him from you. The most precious one in the universe. How will you, what makes you think he won't take care of everything you need? He gave you the most precious one in the universe. Everything else is secondary. What? I love those questions because they kind of shock us and go, whoa, yeah, whoa, I know that stuff. Well, then live it. Get it from here to here. And now, Luke chapter 11, verse 13. If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You see, that's the focus. It's God's glory. The Spirit of God working in our lives. We have our other stuff, our list, and God will take care of that. But our real pursuit is Him and finding our joy in Christ. And the fruit of the Spirit being developed in our lives. Because when that happens, the rest all falls in line. But He's saying, you know how to give good gifts to your own children. You guys are evil. Think about the gifts I'm going to give, Dan. By grace, believe that everything you need in 2019, you already have. That's found in Jesus. You already have it. Everything you need. He is the Alpha. He is the first. He is the greatest. He is the foremost of everything. And He's far surpasses anything. Anything in 2019. There's nothing that will be too difficult for Him to handle. Nothing. Nothing will surprise Him. That's our God. And if God did not refuse you His highest gift, salvation, and the mystery of how God could dwell within all believers, not even withhold Himself from us, then you can trust God's good provision for all your lesser needs in 2019. Amen? Amen? You have all that you need. And Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, will be great for you in 2019 because the Word promises that. Let's pray. Lord, I don't understand all the depth of all these things. The understanding of who You are as the Alpha and the Omega is so deep. But God, we are all in different places, but the promise is the same for each of us. That You will be for us what we need in 2019, just as You were in 2018. So God, help us move those truths from our head to our hearts, that we would simply not just believe them, but we would walk in them by Your grace and Your mercy. So God, do this miracle, so when we come back at the end of 2019, we stand again in awe at all that You have done in us and through us, for Your glory and for our good. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's stand.